Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I didn't think they were going to lose the game. Whether they were going to win by 10 or 12, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I did not think they were going to lose that game. And the way that they did, and the way the third quarter and fourth quarter went, I don't know how anybody, it doesn't mean they're not going to win this series, but I don't know how anybody could have confidence in this group as currently constructed after we watched what we watched last night.
Disgraceful performance by the Knicks. Reinforcing what I've thought about them all year. They just don't have it, man. And I'm going to get to Tom Thibodeau in a second, but just contrast what the Cavaliers did in their closeout game. They won by 55, and then look what the Celtics did in their closeout game. They won by 31. The Knicks didn't even, they lost, and they shot 59% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom Thibodeau, you forgot more basketball than my entire family tree combined knows, but that's a fireable offense. If the Knicks lose this series, he's got to get fired. Tom Thibodeau last night chose a timeout. He chose a timeout over the best closer in the game. Not for 20 seconds or 40 where things are moving fast. All right, maybe it's a little frenetic. All right, maybe it slipped his mind. Not for a minute. Not for a minute and a half. Not for 2 minutes. For 2 minutes and 57 seconds, he was able to ponder. And oh, yeah, by the way, what is the role of the assistant coaches besides sitting there scribbling whatever the hell they're scribbling or Jalen's dad dapping up Jalen? How about you tell your coach, oh, get these guys in the game. There wasn't one shot. There wasn't two shots. There wasn't three shots. There wasn't four shots. There were five shots taken. One by Cam Payton. With the Knicks trying to close out a playoff game, Tom Thibodeau, that was disgusting what he did last night.
I know everybody's going to focus on that. Oh, they lost the game before that. That's not the reason why they lost the game.
But it's the most unacceptable aspect of the game for
Brunson
me.
Brunson got hurt. He got hurt. If he got hurt,
then don't try to get back in the game.
Do you think Brunson was 100% trying to get back in the game?
I don't know the answer, but he was at the scorer's table begging to get in. Also,
it shouldn't have come down to that. They shouldn't have needed Brunson back in that game like he's going to be the savior yet again with all the other pieces
that
they
have.
But they
do because they're not that good. Without Brunson, they're the Pistons in the regular season.
I'm not saying I agree with that decision. Yep. That's not the reason why they lost. It was perplexing to me, but they were losing that game anyway, and then Brunson goes down yet again because he's always hurt. How many playoff games does Brunson have to leave and come back into?
It's a little bit much. I love him, but come on.
It happens, and whether he's hurt or not, like, are you hurt or not? And if you could come back in the game, and I know we tried to stick it out there, you know, for a little bit and was hobbling up, I just don't want to hear it. So you could question Tibbs, certainly, and I know a lot of people are going to do that. To me, that's not the focal point. I think there are many issues with this team. Number one, their stars are not as good as the best stars. We've gone over that before. Number two, I don't think that their pieces fit together well. For me, a more egregious play was, and this is the reason why I say I don't think their pieces fit together well. Down six, Mikal Bridges pulls up a two, and he hit it, but he had OG Anunoby wide open in the corner for a three. You're down six, I think it was 50 seconds to go, and you're pulling up a two instead of passing the ball to OG Anunoby. I think OG and Bridges are redundant players, and I think that Bridges is a little too selfish at times. He shouldn't be looking to make that two when you're trying to get it, if you're down six, you got to knock a three and limit, minimize it, make it a one possession game. And you have a guy wide open in the corner. I'm not saying force the issue. So why would he do what he did? And that just shows a lack of either cohesiveness, a selfishness. Something is off. That's one play, but I would rather focus on that one play than on the lack of timeout to get Brunson back in the game, because I think it leads to a bigger issue. The third issue would be, of course, the head coach. Is he the right guy to eventually get them over the hump? Hard to say at this point that definitively is, but this team has serious flaws that were exposed in Game 5.
It's been exposed the whole series. I mean, the Detroit Pistons largely have outplayed them. It's very frustrating, although it's not stunning to me, because, listen, the issues that you bring to the table, you know, I don't know that I quite detail them that way because, you know, and we talked about Bridges, of course, during the year. But, you know, I've never felt this team this year. That's well on the record. And, again, I hope that I'm wrong. And, again, I think they find a way to win the series. But to me, that's not the issue. They will not win the championship because they don't have a championship head coach.
Do you think that's primary as opposed to a championship team?
I do, because I think if they had a championship-level coach, I think the pieces and the way the players are deployed would be different. I don't think Josh Hart's necessarily starting. I think you see maybe more of Mitch and Carl, like basketball reasons that I can obviously get into. And there's a lot of issues on this team, and they're going to have to make a trade. Whether they win the series or don't, they're going to have to make a trade this summer. I do believe there's a redundancy there with the wings. Now, if you trade Mikal Bridges after you just gave up five first-round picks, then everybody in the front office should be fired as well. So I don't think they're going to I think they're going to try to trade OG Anunoby.
But Bridges is the wrong piece.
It might be the wrong move there, but they've got to justify giving up what they gave up to get him. But again, Sal, I cannot move on from what Tom Thibodeau did last night or what he didn't do. I mean, I'm watching this. So literally, I mean, second for second, 2 minutes and 57 seconds in a two-point closeout game at home. Pistons 97, Knicks 95. McBride in for Brunson, Payne in for obviously Josh Hart. The injuries, okay, you can't do anything about it. The five shots that were taken, for them to sit there and watch for minute after minute is just utterly unacceptable. It is negligent. It is pathetic. He was lost. Like, and I say this kind of for effect because I know he's a man of integrity, but like, if it came out, and I really am joking with this, even though I'm pissed, if it came out in a month that Tom Thibodeau was on the take from the mob to try to throw the game, like, I wouldn't be surprised. That's how stupid that was.
Yeah, I think just one thing led to another and just kind of got away from him. Where was the perfect time to do it? Are you going to do it right away and burn that final timeout and get these guys
in there? The more that they're on the court, the better my chances are to win. 100% I do it right away.
Yeah. Look, I'm not...
How does this not bother you?
It doesn't bother... Because I don't think it's the reason why they lost. The game was... They were already down before Brunson went out. That shouldn't have happened. That should not have happened. They've got selfish players on this team. It can't just be about, oh, well, we're down in the game or whatever it was, two-point game, I don't care. Oh, got to get Brunson back in there. Obviously, I know their chances are better with Jalen Brunson in there, but it shouldn't be down to that. And I would have a bigger issue, and you just touched on this, with the way that the team is, with the way that Tibbs is using the players. That, to me, is a bigger issue. Or the fact that this team is a stupid team. They're sloppy. Why are they feeding Mitchell Robinson the ball down low? Stop it. Stop trying to do it. Three times is three too many. Like, what are we doing here? That's when you're going to be
unselfish? You don't like the hack of Mitch?
Get it down low to Mitchell Robinson, who couldn't handle the basketball if his life depended on it? That's what you think is a good offensive idea? Yeah, let's feed the ball down to him. So is that a coaching thing? Is that a player's thing not being smart enough?
Well, I think it should be a coaching thing to stop it.
Okay, but that's my point. So they do stupid things. Brunson dribbling the ball off his foot far too often for a great player. Like, you can't be doing that. Mm. He does it at least once every single game. So those little things drive me nuts. The way that he uses the players and deploys the players in the match. Okay.
I don't like it.
Okay, me too. I'm not going to focus on the one singular thing that to me is the low-hanging fruit. Like, yeah, obviously you'd like to have Brunson back in the game, but it was circumstance. He shouldn't have gotten hurt to begin with to go out.
But he did, and okay. You had a chance to address it.
Yeah, but they were still down in the game.
They're down for 2 points, 97-95.
Okay, well, why is Mikal Bridges pulling up a two-point jump shot instead of hitting a wide-open OG Anunoby in the corner to make it a three-point game, potentially?
I'm not shooting down what you're bringing up. I think that there's a lot of things to dissect, and we obviously will. We'll get the calls fired up. I know you Knicks fans are ready to go. BT and Sal here at 888-881-1019. But, I mean, there are certain basic checkpoints where, and I know that we kind of,
You think they would have won the game if he made... Let's say...
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I think that they would have won if Jalen Brunson plays the final 3 minutes instead of the final 27 seconds.
Yeah.
Yes! Dude, the guy just got the award for the greatest... For the clutch award, whatever the hell they call that award. We know what it means, what it signifies. Without Jalen Brunson, the Knicks are closer to the Brooklyn Nets or the Hornets than they are the Celtics or the Thunder. Jalen Brunson is the man. And Tom Thibodeau decided willingly made the decision. He said a post-game coach's decision. He was asked about it. Hey, coach, what was your thought on the save of the timeout and not getting coach's decision?
Yeah, all right, well,
you're telling us right there that you chose the timeout over Brunson. That's fine. What I'm saying right now is if you lose the series, I would fire you. That's what I'm saying.
Jalen Brunson, who is the man, nobody's going to dispute that he had 16 points last night.
Understood.
He had a bad game for Jalen Brunson. 1 of 4 from downtown, 4 of 16 from the field. We know the numbers. You saw him at the free throw line as well, which is inexcusable.
They shot 59% from the stripe.
So why aren't we talking? Like, I'm not minimizing what you and everybody else are talking about.
It doesn't sound like it bothers you that much.
Because all the other stuff, it bothers me that they can't hit free throws a lot more than a singular decision when a player was hurt and clearly hobbled. I don't think Brunson was 100%. I don't think he had a good game to begin with. He wasn't 100% coming back in. To me, that was a last ditch. They were screwed anyway. So you could call that timeout, sure, get them back in the game. And by the way, it wasn't just Brunson. Obviously, it was Hart as well.
It's Hart, too. Yeah, I'm less concerned about Hart at that point. Yeah,
you are, but...
Oh, although he's hitting threes the last couple of games.
Well, not only that, would you rather have Hart on the floor or McBride or Campaign?
Yeah, Campaign, who missed a floater, back rim, chucked it up. What are we doing? Campaign's taking shots in the final 2 minutes.
That can't happen. So even if...
But Tom Thibodeau let it happen. Well, that's my point.
But even if Brunson's not on the floor, and even if you have McBride and Campaign out there, they can't be taking shots down the stretch when you have Karl Anthony Towns, Bridges, and OG Anunoby.
I know we hit that big three. Okay, Karl Anthony Towns went back to being a mouse last night. He was invisible.
Right, now we're getting to... I'm not minimizing it. You're right. It doesn't bother me singularly, maybe the way that it does you
I'm
or others.
I'm sitting there watching the game saying... I'm like, wait, am I... It was so obvious to me, and my energy was going so... My blood was starting to boil. I'm like, am I missing something? Am I getting worked up for... Like, I've got to make sure I'm not missing anything here. Like, he didn't foul out. You know, right. Yes, he's willingly keeping Jalen Brunson out. Now, and last night, I mean, it's few and far between, even though I love sports and I love these teams and it means the world, you know that. It's one of the reasons our show has the fire that it does. We care about this stuff still. And New York cares about the Knicks.
Right.
And the Knick coach last night told us that a timeout, which would be meaningless, was more important than getting the best clutch player in the game. Now, which is, again, fireable. I'm with you. Jalen was having a rough night. How many times have we seen Jalen Brunson, little sluggish, finally got a bucket in the first half late, kind of meanders through, and then bang, 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 avalanche, three, driving layup, twisting, you know, fall away, and one. He's done it his whole Knick career.
Right. I get it. And I'm not lying. I would be lying to you if I said it didn't bother me with the tips thing. I just think that it's a much bigger picture. There's a lot there, which we'll get into throughout the course of the show today. Unfortunately, we got to start on a bad note with that disgraceful performance. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Tony is in Hoboken. What's up, Tony?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm not a diehard Knicks fan. I used to be back in the 90s. But last night's energy, I was so pumped up for the game to turn it on and watch it. And to watch that performance was next to disgraceful, really, towards the end of that game. I don't even know how Thibodeau even comes back for tomorrow's night's game, but to be honest with you, I was even looking for Pat Riley to put the fist up in the air at some point to get something going. But, love the show and love to hear your thoughts further. Thanks, guys.
Well, you heard mine. Tom Thibodeau's on thin ice, man. That's the quick version.
So it did cross my mind last night. Like I said, all those different things. I don't think it's just one thing. If we're singularly focusing on, well, he didn't call a timeout. Why didn't he call a timeout? We're missing the big picture stuff. This is a bigger issue to me than him not calling a timeout. But I do think that he is potentially a part of the bigger picture problem anyway. And a game like last night shows that. I told you in game one I had a problem with the way that he emptied the bench in the first quarter.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. That changed
the
tone.
The usage last night or the sloppiness. Like, somebody should be saying, hey, well, Mitch is on the floor, and we know what he brings to the
table. And Mitch played well last night outside of free throws. He was more than fine. He played well.
Yeah, but we know what his limitations are. Don't try to give him the ball. Don't give him the quarterback pass, you know, try to on a fast break, get him down.
I think that was Bridges who threw that. That was a ridiculous. That was an 80-foot pass in the air to him.
Don't feed him the ball down low.
No.
He's got zero offensive skill. Mm. Zero.
Nothing.
I don't want him handling the ball. I'm fine with him finishing around the rim off a missed shot. That's his offensive game. Multiple times last night, and that's wasting three possessions. They tried to feed Mitchell Robinson down low, which is just idiotic to me. And a part of that's on the coach. If I don't like the rotation or I'm saying there's selfish play, how could Bridges not see Anunoby in the corner? Why would he not think that that's a good idea down six where you get a wide open three and D guy?
Yep.
That's his specialty. He's wide open in the corner. You're down six, under a minute to go. Feed him the basketball. Like, that's
again, I'm not pushing back on that. And this would be like Pat Riley featuring Herb Williams and bypassing Patrick Ewing.
Right.
The only retort I would have for that.
And by the way, Herb had a better offensive game than Mitchell Robinson.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like Mitch is just... Yeah. It's a non-starter. You can't give him the ball.
Herb actually had some good years with the Pacers, like 15, 16 points before he came to the Knicks. Anyway, he was pretty good at Ohio State. Okay. So I'm with you that whether it was selfish or he didn't recognize that OG was open, but at least I can explain away things are moving fast and, you know, you got to get some shots. Okay, you should know that as a player. You've got to be able to slow things down. That's what the great ones do or the really good ones do, and he wasn't able to do that. There's no excuses for Tom Thibodeau as the coach who's not on the court with 6'9 and 6'10 bodies running at him and this frenetic, crazy pace. You're the coach. You're the coach. You get paid to organize. That is your job. And really, everything, Sal, that I've said, all the criticisms, that I like him as a person, I know he's a good coach. My problem is he's not better than good. And I have said that for a long time, Tom Thibodeau. I don't think he ever will be better than good. I think that this is the ceiling. And while the thing that drove me nuts, obviously, was the final sequence with the timeout, I think a lot of things that transpire during the game that bother you more than me are emblematic of his shortcomings.
Yeah, I also think he was a little unlucky down the stretch. Now, look, you make your own luck sometimes, but he got unlucky in the fact that Hart and Brunson both got hurt, number one. Number two, he didn't give an explanation for it after the game. Don't you think he was just hoping that there was going to be a natural stoppage of play?
Sure.
So he could both keep his timeout just in case in a close game down the stretch and get his guys back in. And just the way that the game went, it kind of got away from him. And by that time, it was too late.
Sure.
And that was a mistake.
But what does hope mean? I'm not taking a shot at the Mets is the first thing that popped in my head. Yeah, you don't think Carlos Beltran wanted to get a hit in 2006 against Wainwright? Didn't swing.
Yeah.
I mean, we all hope for things
I'm not saying he got a little unlucky. It was unlucky that...
No, I can't buy that there, Sal. I think that there's an expiration point. All right, you ride one possession. Maybe two. There were five shots taken with Brunson on ice.
Edwin is in Plainview. What's up, Edwin?
Yes, how are you? First time caller.
All right, buddy.
I just want to say we got to get rid of Thibodeau. 100%. Why he don't play the bench? Precious Achiuwa could hit free throws. He's a better shooter than Robinson. Why he don't play? Why?
Well, I mean, there's some deficiencies, and I think that they're pretty obvious.
Edwin,
we need to. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
we have to get a better center. We got to get rid of Mitchell Robinson.
But it's not going to happen now, Edwin. And listen, thanks for the call. I'm not trying to talk you down, but I don't think that that's the conversation today. That's going to probably be the conversation in 2 weeks if they even get past the Pistons because the Celtics will bury them.
And I'm not so sure
now. We'll have
now.
That conversation.
Yeah, I'm not so sure now. Like,
you worried? You think they could lose this?
To me, it doesn't matter anymore. Because last night was the show me game.
That's a good answer. I like that answer.
Right, because what's the difference?
I like that answer.
Let's say they went in six or seven.
Yeah, big deal. What'd you do? You're supposed to.
This was why last night to me and some of the guys over at SNY, like you and I talked about it, and then after the show I go to SNY and they're like, oh, because we're talking about it, I'm saying it's a must win. Oh, come on. It's not a must win. It was in my mind to show if this team had that next level that I was waiting to see, that I believe that they might have had in them. I was good with the first four games of this series. What they did last night to me, no matter what they do now, outside of beating the Celtics in the second round, beating the Pistons in six or seven to me is not impressive. Losing two games.
It's actually unimpressive.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. You had to beat this team in five. That was the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, like even if they did beat them in five, it was still going to be, hey, every game was a 1-point game.
That's right.
But I wasn't going to nitpick. If they beat them in five, they beat them in five. So what's the difference now if they beat him in six or seven? it's to me, it's already lost. And whether they get smoked by the Celtics or not, I at my core now believe definitively, based on things that I've seen, know that they don't have it, and multiple things need to change, whether that's the head coach, whether it is moving on from Bridges. I would not move on from Anunoby, but maybe they have no choice but to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is finding better role players, Mitchell Robinson, not good enough. The bench in general also could have Campaign and Miles McBride, who are redundant. Like, they just, there are bigger issues here that need to be addressed. And to me, after last night's performance, I'm definitive that this team, I'm with you, this team does not have it.
Interesting. All right, so I know we got to get a break here. I just want to reiterate one thing. Let's marinate on this here, because we've tried to process, well, they were 0-10 against the elite teams. What does it mean? Well, one of the elite teams, again, the Cavaliers closed them out with a 55-point road win, and the Celtics closed them out with a 31-point win. The Knicks lost at home. What else do you need to hear?
It was more than
it's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just a loss in a series, you know, losing a game in a series. To me, this was more symbolic of all the things that you doubted, BT, you and others doubted coming into the year. And all the things that we needed to see, they weren't there last night. It was all confirmed, all the doubts and all the disbelief and all the, you know, potentially negative things about this team. It was all confirmed in one game last night, a defining game for me, for this group of the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, incredibly uninspiring, incredibly disappointing, not incredibly a shock for the reasons you just chronicled here. And listen, now, I mean, a must-win game is when you literally must win or there's consequences.
I know,
no, but you're not wrong when you say must-win from a perceptual perspective, but also from a rest perspective. Now the Celtics get to kick back and chill. Knicks got to get back on a plane, go back to Detroit. Going to be a raucous environment. That game is on Thursday. if they win, and right now I saw the Pistons are 1.5-point favorites. How about that? Pistons are favored in game six, at least what I saw initially. That could change.
I wouldn't touch that game.
No, I'm not saying
I
for betting purposes.
In game four. Yeah,
I felt good last night.
Yeah, interesting.
I thought they were going to mop them. And then if they win Thursday, we'll see. And it's right back to work on Saturday, and I don't know what the round two is going to be, the schedule, but you're probably playing Tuesday night against the Celtics.
Yeah.
You're going to be exhausted.
That's why I thought it was a must win, and because it was so fragile anyway, everything had to line up perfectly. If they would have won last night, forget about even convincingly, if they would have won, the energy today from me would have been, okay, they did what they had to do. People doubted them coming into this series against the Pistons. It was a hard-fought, tough series, superstar with Cade Cunningham, whatever. They disposed of them in five. Now we get set to see. They get the rest. We get to set to see how they were going to look against the championship team. Now, obviously, that would have been a whole nother different level of evaluation, but at least everything would have been set, the proper rest, disposing of the Pistons in five. You feel good about it. Now, no matter what happens, you're not going to feel good about it because if they win in six or seven, the rest isn't there. They already blew an opportunity that they should have taken advantage of. You can't lose. How do you lose two games in the first round at home if you consider yourself a good team?
That's gross. And by the way, the Pistons beat them twice at the Garden during the season.
Yeah, so it should not be the case. Now you can say, well, they won a couple games on the road. And even Tibbs was trying to spin that last night. Like, our guys, you know, play better when they're booed or whatever it was he was saying. Like, when they're taunted, they respond to that. Dude, I mean, what are you kidding me? You gotta perform well at home. I think Tibbs is smart enough to know this team just doesn't have it. And I do think that it's now something back to what Wally Szczerbiak was hinting at. Again, I'm not trying to speculate, like, guys don't like each other, whatever. But there's clearly a lack of cohesion when you talk about team. And with this, the Knicks have talent for sure, but they don't play well together as a team. It seems like a mishmash at times with guys out there as opposed to defined roles. Back in the 90s, and so one thing I use to reference it, you could use a current example and say the Celtics, where they don't have superstars all over the place, but their role players excel in their roles.
And their superstars are better than the Knicks superstars.
Correct. So that's why they're champions. If you go back to the 90s, when Derek Harper would come out of the game, there was a clear role for Chris Childs to come back in and replace
and Greg
the
Anthony before that,
okay,
by the way.
Or whatever. Yep, yep. Or you want to go with
you had a backup point guard.
Charlie Ward and Chris Childs.
Yeah, yeah.
One guy was the starting point guard. When he needed rest, you go with the backup point guard. Their roles were the same. And now, I don't know, who's the backup point guard? Is it Miles McBride? Is it Campaign?
I think it's McBride.
Okay,
I think,
but we don't know. And then why are they both on the floor at the same time? And then there's different variations of different lineups at different times. You could figure that out in the regular season. Come postseason, it should be clear whose role is what, who's on the floor with who, who's filling in for who, and they don't have that. And that's why when that one play that I keep referencing, to me it showed a disconnect between Bridges and Anunoby. How does Bridges not trust a wide-open Anunoby in the corner? Down six, under a minute to go. Instead of feeding a wide-open Anunoby who was calling for the ball, he pulled up, made the two-point jump shot, but it really didn't do anything because...
No, he's still down four.
Yeah,
but to me, that's still on Tom Thibodeau. That's on Tibbs.
Maybe, which is why last night... I'm with you. Last night was the first time I said... I'm open to a coaching change. I don't think it's going to solve all the problems, but I could understand why you would want that now.
Yeah, and listen, by the way, I want to have Zoo read something in 1 second about the... I want him to read the Wally Szczerbiak quote, which he will in a second, from before the start of the series, which might prove to be prescient, shall we say. Anyway, let's not lose sight of what's going on here, guys. The Pistons came into the series with nine players who never played a playoff game. Number one, Carl Anthony Towns was in the Western Conference Finals a year ago. We know that Jalen Brunson's played a ton, and Hart and everybody else. This team's barely played any. By the way, from an organizational perspective, they had not won a playoff game since 2008 when they beat the Knicks early in the series. So it's not like you're playing some battle-tested, veteran-laden, just savvy team. It's really embarrassing. Zoo, can you please read this from Wally Szczerbiak about a week and a half or so ago?
Oh, I got you guys. So Wally came out and he said, we're going to learn a lot about the interior of the locker room in this series quick. And then he went on to say, because the talent is there, they should blow out this Detroit team when you go player for player. If they don't dominate this series, there's something going on in that locker room that's not right.
So, okay, that is heavy. So go ahead. That is real stuff right there.
And now, definitively, forget about the interpretation before, how you want to interpret those words before the postseason. There's no way anybody could say, I don't care if the Knicks win in six and they blow them out by 20, there's no way the Knicks dominated the series. Nobody would say that.
Oh, my God. No, they've been pushed around and pumped more than they dominated.
Correct. So, to Wally's point, If they didn't dominate this series, something is wrong. They have not dominated this series and will not dominate this series, even if they win this series.
Yep.
Which makes me think that there is something off.
Something is wrong. And to me, I think, now this is a guess, and I'm not putting words in Wally's mouth, but you just don't hear or read something like that really ever, especially from somebody who is on the network of the games. I mean,
he's in a building.
Exactly. He's piped in, hell of a player, New York guy, grew up in Long Island, knows the team and the franchise, back of his hand. I'm sure he wants them to win, but he's going to do his job. He's going to be honest. And I don't understand how, what I think, and this is a guess, I think he's talking about Tom Thibodeau, because he goes out of his way to clearly illuminate the disparity in talent. Zoo, do you have it back up? Just read the part about the talent just very quickly. Listen to this, guys.
Yeah, so he went on to say that when you go, or I'm going to hyperphrase there. I forget what the word is.
But
it's because the talent is there, they should blow out this Detroit team when you go player for player.
Stop. That's it. You should blow out this team when you go player for player. That's a shot at the coach.
Right, but that's why I say that it's not just about... The Knicks have talent, but sometimes you'd rather have a team as opposed to just the talent. Now, I would... The Carl Anthony Towns thing, to me, makes them significantly better this year than they were last year. So we've had the DiVincenzo-Hartenstein argument, whatever.
Yeah, that's over. I
want Kat and Brunson. The issue is Bridges, and I'm not trying to pick on Bridges.
I got you.
But he may be, let's say, more talented all around than OG Anunoby. But OG Anunoby excels at his role, or is more consistent in his role to me than Bridges, who can one night score 30 if you need to. One night he's going to be invisible. The up and down nature of Bridges' game, or at least since he's been a Knick, to me is maddening. And I'd rather trade off his talent and high-end potential for a more consistent, solid, lesser talented, defined role player that I think would fit the team better.
It's a good thought, and it would probably make them more whole in a couple of different ways. But again, all right, trade Bridges. You gave up 5 first round picks.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that they're going to do that. I'm just saying that that's one example of it. The other examples could be Miles McBride. Yeah, McBride looks like at times, dude, lighten it up.
Yeah,
But is he... Like, what does he do exactly? Is he a great defensive player that, you know, okay, McBride's in the game, he's
scrappy. You got to play D for Huggins at West Virginia back in the day. He's a pretty good defender.
He's not, to me, a lockdown, known defender where, okay, at least when he's in the game, you have that. He's more of an offensive guy when he's on the floor.
I think he's like Vinny Johnson. Like, in a way, talking about ironically playing the Pistons, like a guy coming off the bench, you know, who's expected to get some buckets. Let him eat a little bit.
But that, to me, is not something that they need. I'd rather have a point guard who could facilitate, get the ball down, be smart with the basketball, let the other talented guys that you have eat. I don't need Deuce McBride to be able to shoot the basketball, but yet that's all he does, and he's inconsistent at that. And it's not, to me, he's not a lockdown defender. So I'm not saying he can't play defense. He's probably better than Brunson playing defense, but he's not a lockdown defender. Anyway, I'm not trying to pick on each individual. I'm just saying that there are roles that are lacking here from this team.
Well, who defines the roles?
Yeah, well, I mean...
That's the coach.
But it's also Leon Rose bringing in these players, and then the coach has got to try to make it fit, which obviously he hasn't. Anthony's in Mineola. What's up, Ant?
What's up, guys? Well, I got a lot to say. I'll try to keep it short. First time in 44 years that I've been alive and watched the Knicks game off in the beginning of the third quarter. I'll explain to you why.
Well, you better start, because that's ridiculous.
I think you get a bad line, but go ahead, Ant.
So we traded 5 picks for this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy does nothing. All his points are really... Maybe at the end of the game, it's a Hail Mary. He throws it towards the bucket. Like Sal says, OG's wide open. OG carried that team yesterday in that game. They would have lost by 20 points if it wasn't for OG.
Well, that's kind of the point about that one particular play, and thanks for the call, Ant. Have a feel for the game. You have a wide open OG Anunoby who's playing well and looking confident yesterday. Feed him in the corner. If he misses it, so be it. But you're trying to get the possession down on one possession game.
How much time was there? 57-1? 57.1?
50 seconds, I think. With that particular play?
Yeah, when he took the shot, made the two instead of rolling for the three.
Bridges makes the 11-foot jumper at 50 seconds.
All right, okay. So
they were 50. Down 101-95. So you're down 6, under a minute to go. Anunoby's in the corner, wide open. Under a minute to go, dude. You're down 2 possessions.
Yeah, but, yeah, I I can tactically disagree with you, and not just to disagree, but there's so much game left at that point. And you can foul. And with so he makes it to 50 seconds. You could go the entire 24 seconds and get a stop. And then obviously go for a quick two if they give it to you, or three. Then you can foul. Like, I have less of a problem with him taking that shot, because he also took and made some big ones the previous game. It was whether it was the three in the corner down 11, or the bucket when they were down six to make it three in Detroit on Sunday. The more I think about this, and the more the way I've seen these games stretch out, and more so in college, but in the NBA as well, stretch on forever, and because he made the shot, I can't crush him.
Yeah, no,
for not passing the bridges.
See, to me,
it's a lot of game left.
The result of the shot doesn't matter. The right play was to pass to Anunoby.
But I'm disagreeing with that too, because with
how
50, I'm gonna tell you,
what good does a mid-range jump shot do when you're under a minute to go down six?
I'm gonna tell you, if there's
none, is an open look.
Yeah, no, I get it. He was open. He was open. But with like 9 seconds, unacceptable. With 22 seconds, unacceptable. 50 seconds, Sal. That's a few possessions baked in there. So, again, provided you hit the shot, you go from 6 to 4, which he did, I can't crush him on that. I can't. I hear what you're saying.
But why is the result? See, to me, the result has nothing to do with the right player.
It's not just results driven.
So if he missed that shot, you'd still be saying the same thing.
I would be. I promise. It's not just results driven. Because, again,
the Knicks did not get the ball back until Tibbs called the timeout.
What was it at, though?
27 seconds.
At 27, okay. So
after the Pistons made a bucket on the other end. So it went from he makes it at 50 seconds, 27 seconds, Pistons make a bucket, timeout.
But that's the problem. The
game was already over at that point.
Agreed. That's why what makes what I'm saying look almost worse. But if the Knicks would have gotten a stop, so at 50 seconds.
But they're still down two possessions with 27 seconds to go.
Like, when did he hit the jump shot?
At
50 seconds.
Yeah.
So, okay, so 50 seconds, Knicks are down by four.
Correct. Two possessions.
I understand that.
Then the Pistons hit a bucket.
I understand. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If the Knicks would have dug in and gotten a stop, there's 30 seconds left. They're down by four.
But
now you go for a quick two, you go for an open three.
Still two possessions.
Understood.
Yeah. Now 27 seconds.
Understood, but now you can foul and you can stretch the game out. Happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you're still chasing your tail there. My issue was that there was somebody wide open. I mean, that's what the NBA is about. That's what the Knicks are doing. That's how this team is built. They're built to hit threes. That is their advantage over the Pistons. You have a good three-point shooter who is wide open in the corner calling for the ball, and Bridges decides to shoot it himself. So, fundamentally, I'm watching that in real time. I didn't go back and break down the replay again. I'd like to see it. I'm throwing it up MSG. Maybe we could see it again. But real time, I'm thinking, what is he doing there at that particular point? So I had a big issue with that. Obviously, you have a big issue with Tibbs. A lot of issues all around with the Knicks. 888-808-1019.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And here's the number to call.
I did like Ben Rice going yard twice in the three spot. Rodon another win, but obviously it's the Yankees largely, Sal, will be defined by their situational hitting during the regular season. But you stack some wins. Yankees bang down 19 hits. They get the win. Good stuff.
And good for them maintaining their spot as the second best team in town. We'll have more.
Hey, by the way, Grisham hit another one.
You know what? I do want to get into the Yankees later on because I do have a thought that popped in my head last night watching that game. We'll do Yankees and Mets a little bit later. Let's get back to the phones here, BT, with the Knicks. 888-808-1019. Mickey is in Wolcott, Connecticut. What's up, Mickey?
Yeah. Hey, brother. How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. What ticks me off is not just the missed free throws. That definitely, I think, cost us points. What ticks me off is not even Tibbs making horrible decisions with the defense and players. What ticks me off is that you're not winning games this close and letting people get injured. It reminds me of last year. When we went into the first round, we were good. Next thing you know, we're so injured going into the second round that we had no chance. Now, did we even have a chance with the Celtics? Who knows? I mean, look at the way they played us all year. But you can't allow games to be lost when you're getting injured at the same time. You just cannot, because then it's just going to kill you in the long run.
Well, but injuries happen by accident. Like, it's not nobody's trying to go out there and get injured. I'm not sure what does the injuries have to do with it?
Well, for me, it's not. I mean, obviously, you're right. Injuries happen by accident, but it's the team. When injuries happen, your team should rally behind you and say, you know what? We cannot let this game lose, because that injury is one extra game you have to play, which means more things can happen, and it just puts you in a bad position.
Well, but Mikey, I don't disagree. I mean, obviously, if a team's banged up, you're going to be compromised here, but this is just a rough matchup in terms of the Pistons, and not just against the Knicks. If the Pistons played the Celtics, they're more physical. Now, the Celtics would still smoke them in four, because if the Celtics, they're more physical than anybody in the NBA. So the only thing you do is retaliate to try to dissuade them from being so physical. Number one, I don't think that that would work, because they are just physical by nature, but also you risk getting thrown out of a game. So I don't know. How do you prevent that? You can't. This is who the Pistons are.
And look, unfortunately, Jalen Brunson has a habit of getting banged up. I mean, that's just the fact. Every game, the guy's leaving, coming back in. He's leaving, he's coming back in. Has to go to the bench, and it was costly last night. You knew once Brunson, first of all, you saw him hobbled, and it was like, uh-oh. And then you knew once he had to actually leave the game, at that point in the game, they were done. You hate to say it. You were hoping that maybe that wasn't the case. They can't win without Brunson. I don't know how many teams can win without their best player down the stretch in a tight game like that. So could they have overcome it? Yeah, maybe they would have to have gotten lucky. They couldn't get a damn stop to save their life.
I know.
And then they couldn't hit a big shot without Brunson on the floor. So it was a problem. Once he went out, regardless of when he came back in, they were compromised. The lack of a timeout there certainly hurt them. I think decisions that they were made on the floor certainly hurt them. Bad shots, campaign, missed free throws left and right. Like, there was a lot that went into a despicable performance all the way around.
They shot 59% from the free throw line. That ridiculous 80-foot, you know, Hail Mary bomb. Mitchell Robinson suddenly trying to hit him on a fast break.
Yeah.
I think Bridges threw that. That was ridiculous. You could see Tom Thibodeau's reaction when he saw that go out of bounds. But you just said you can't win without Brunson. I agree. But yet again, I'm going back to that. Who decided to try to win without Brunson?
Well, I mean, but he was out for a stretch. The game was already, they were already trailing at that point anyway.
By 2 points.
Yeah, okay.
They're down by two.
Okay.
With, you know, 2 minutes and 57 seconds to go.
Right.
You know, you go, you know, you're talking about the five shots that were taken in the absence of Brunson and even Josh Hart. Now, you're not going to hit five threes, but that's potentially 15 points that they just didn't even try to get.
Yeah, I still don't think it would have made a difference, but obviously, well, I shouldn't say it wouldn't have made a difference. I don't think they would have won the game anyway. The Knicks played like crap.
I still think they would have won. Because Brunson saved them from subpar performances before. We're used to it.
Yeah, I mean, he's not getting any stops on the other end, Brunson.
I understand that, but he's getting buckets, and he only needed a couple
more
points.
Maybe he wasn't getting buckets last night, and I do think he's compromised. Now, I'd be curious to see what the status is. I'm assuming he's going to go for game six, but I do think he was banged up, where at least it looked like he was compromised last night. And if he wasn't, and it was one of those where he's like exaggerating, or I just need a little time to get myself right, that can't happen with 2 minutes to go in the game. This is not go back to the locker room and come back out with your cape on like he's been doing here recently. Suck it up, stay on the floor and go, you know?
Yeah, I do. Listen, Jalen Brunson is not perfect because he's not 6'5". He's not a good defensive player. He's not an elite athlete. There is one thing that I would take to my grave. There is no way this guy's milking it. For now, he has a propensity to get hurt a lot, which is a different discussion. There is no way Jalen Brunson's trying to Hollywood this thing. Let me limp off and come back and get the cape and be the Superman and feel the adulation. 0.0% chance that's going down.
Eric is in Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
Sal, CC, what's happening, boys?
Yo, what's up, buddy?
Great conversation, man, off of what was an absolutely brutal loss last night. And you guys encapsulated it all, really. I think, you know, this is absolutely a microcosm of what is so wrong with this Knicks team. But ultimately, I completely agree with you, BT, that you cannot play those last 3 minutes of the game without the best player on the court. You just can't. There's nothing that Thibodeau can say that can make me believe that that was the right decision to make. Yep. And then you've got Deuce McBride missing the last two free throws. That's a different outcome if Brunson is at the free throw line and he didn't even have the opportunity, because Thibodeau didn't want to take the timeout for whatever reason. I mean, as bad as the Knicks played last night, all of those things become moot if Brunson is on the court and does what he does, which is that scoring ability and the clutch ability, both of which were taken away because Thibodeau didn't put him on the court.
Yep. Now, listen,
that's the end of the discussion. We don't even have this conversation if
agree.
They do that.
I agree. Now, I don't know what the coaching fraternity's like. I believe it's pretty tight. Maybe some of the younger guys are closer than some of the OGs, and Tom Thibodeau's an OG at this point. But if there was a coaching WhatsApp chain or a thread, text thread, and Tom Thibodeau wasn't on it and every other NBA coach was, the thread would read like this. Dude, could you believe what Tibbs did last night? The next one, dude, he's sitting Brunson? Dude, screw the timeout. Like, it was so egregiously misplayed, there is nothing to rationalize it. Awful.
I will just say, I'm not rationalizing it. I would just say there's no guarantee Brunson's hitting that free throw either.
I'll take my chances.
Brunson's been sloppy at the line.
Sal, I'll take my chances.
Understood, but let's not make it like it's a guarantee. I mean, Jalen Brunson did not have a good game yesterday. He was compromised. He's also missed big free throws. He missed free throws yesterday. Like, there's no guarantee. Would the Knicks be better with Brunson on the floor? Yeah, you'd have to be an idiot not to think otherwise. I think Tom Thibodeau knows that. He made a mistake. He's not perfect.
I'm not even sure he knows it. That's the thing.
Come on.
What?
Come on.
Come on, what?
He didn't take him out of the game. You make it sound like, you guys make it sound like he took him out of the game. He wasn't giving him rest. Brunson got hurt. Hart got hurt.
Yeah, and then they walked to the scorer's table and said, which is code for, I'm good, get me back in. And he said, nah, I'm going to keep this timeout in my back pocket. This is funny, because when we play golf, because we're pretty much all bad, we each get one mulligan. And you can use it whenever you want, right? So imagine me getting a triple bogey on the 18th and getting in the cart and saying, maybe I should have used that mulligan on the tee shot on 18 that I rifled into the trees, and I'm dropping two, hitting three from the same spot. Like, that's unacceptable. Take the mulligan. Take the timeout.
BT and Sal on the fan. More of your calls. We come back. 888-808-1019. Either way, an ugly loss for the Knicks.